Third Canto, The Glories of Devotional Service, Chapter 25, Text 20. Kapila Muni is speaking. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kind of a long one. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditional life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness. An attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite the statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity, by constitution, has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditional state, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is a source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotee, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or a long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found to be not following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhur eva samantavya. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed, Lava matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoy. Simply by a moment's association with the sadhu, one can attain perfection. Just one little comment there. Some of these statements are like really ripe for the sahajism. It says, even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one has unflinching faith in Krishna, he is understood to be a sadhu. That doesn't mean that if one is, you know, drunken and illicit sex and gambling and everything, that it's all right. It means all the strict rules of, you know, deity worship and, you know, all those kind of things. One may not be strictly following that, but he has faith in Krishna enough to chant the holy name and follow the regulated principles. In Hawaii, we get questions like that. Well, it says in the Nectar Devotion that the inhabitants of Vrindavan didn't follow the regulated principles of devotional service, so it's all right, isn't it? To imitate, to be like them and smoke marijuana all the time. But having faith, you know, is a serious thing, but one may not be engaged in all the strict rules like the Madhva Sampradaya or something. You know, all day long deity worship with mantras for every little thing they do. Chanting the holy name. Mahatma is a synonym of a sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma or elevated devotee of the Lord is Dwara Mahur Vimukte. I was thinking about that verse. You know that verse? In the fifth canto? Rishabhdev, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte, Tamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam. Fifth canto. That service to the Mahat, or the devotee, the sadhu, opens the door to liberation. And Tamo Dwaram Yoshita Sanghi Sangam, the door to hell or the door to ignorance, Tamo Dwaram is opened by association with women or someone too much attached to women. That doesn't mean for devotional service, it means with the enjoying spirit. Spirit of just trying to enjoy the material world, particularly the material body, which is the main activity of main mentality of everyone in this day and age. And what is being advertised everywhere is the most important thing. So we have to transfer that. If someone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is open. And what are the three gates leading to hell?
Lust.
And? Anger. Right? Lust, anger, and greed. So we should avoid those doors. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord, because if one associates with the sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him to become a devotee, a worshiper and sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with a sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instruction on how to improve our material condition, but he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves to devotional service. That is the result of associating with the sadhu. Kapila Muni, first of all, instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. I can repeat the verse now.
Every learned man
knows very well
that
attachment for the material
is
the greatest entanglement
of
the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutam Swayam Rupa Kedamayam Dadati Svapa Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shri Rupam Sajajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Pancha kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Sadhu Sangha. That was one of the first things Lord Chaitanya said to Sanatana Goswami when Sanatana received his instructions. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoy. That even a moment's association, it's a very short time, a Lava Matra, is declared by all Shastras and is the topmost perfection. Because that starts one on the path. So devotees, we want to associate with devotees and we want to give association. That's why we have temples so people can come and find a place to associate with sadhus. That's why we go out and preach. That's why we make festivals, is to give that association. When we are preaching, and that means we're not associating with the materialists, they're associating with sadhus. Sometimes devotees think, well, I can't, you know, go out because I can't associate with the karmis. But even devotees can work, they can do anything, but if their consciousness is right, then they're giving association. So attachment is the nature of the soul, to be attached to something. So the Mayavadis, speculators trying to figure everything out, they realize that, you know, attachment in the material world is the cause of so much distress. So they come to this idea of you should not think, you should not be attached, you should not have any, you know, attachment. But that's not possible, because the nature of the soul is that we want to transfer that attachment to Krishna, become attached. And so the bhakti yoga process, you know, gives all facility for that. Attachment to some kind of service, attachment to devotees, attachment to the holy name. These are things we want. So gradually we come up by sadhu sangha, then bhajana kriya, and then can get some ruchi eventually, a real taste for the holy name. But devotees get attached to whatever they're doing. They get attached to their devotee friends, or they get attached to Atiyatra. We see that one's very powerful. We see all the devotees come out, right? People we don't see the rest of the year. Because Jagannath is powerful. We see how children get attached very quickly, because everyone gets attached to something. So we want to give people Krishna. Get attached to reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Get attached to hearing about Krishna. Get attached to devotees. There's so many different ways one can serve devotees. People ask a lot of questions about maintaining. I was just reading this book, you've seen this, Bhakti Loka, by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He goes over the two verses in the Nectar of Instruction, six things that are detrimental and six things that are favorable for devotional service. So he's saying that enthusiasm is very important. Without enthusiasm, one becomes negligent in his worship. Remember last year, after Rathiatra, that was a talk that Satchinandan Swami gave about, how do you say it in German? Enthusma?
Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm. Almost the same. English comes from German. It does. It's called the Germanic language. Without utsaha, one becomes negligent in his worship. Negligent is born out of inactivity, apathy, or indifference. You know what apathy means? I don't care. I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. When I was in high school, that hurt. You know, that hippie time, that was like the fashionable word. Nothing bothers me, supposedly. Because, you know, people get some idea about, they read about yogis and, you know, that they're not disturbed. You know. But, like Prabhupada, we saw one time he was walking on the beach and one hippie was, you know, one bum, he was getting up. It was 6:30 in the morning. The guy had been sleeping there on the beach, and Prabhupada said, just look at him. He's given up everything. And then he laughed. He said, except sex and drugs. You know, he doesn't care for home. He said that about these winos, we call them in America. They just live by drinking wine. They don't care about anything except wine. They're very fixed. And those, you know, they don't change clothes. They don't care. You know, they give up their family. Sometimes they had big business, jobs or something. So he said, you know, they're fixed. He said, so we should be like that for Krishna. That we don't care for family, we don't care for social, you know, prestige or recognition by the materialist or anything, only for Krishna. That doesn't mean you live like one of those guys, but the mentality of it. That's all they think about. Give me some wine, wine, wine. As soon as they get, you know, a little money, they buy wine. So laziness and inertia is called inactivity. When one is enthusiastic, then inertia cannot remain. Inertia is a term from physics. If something is sitting still, and it tends to stay that way. It takes some kind of push to get it moving. This inertia is opposite to the nature of the soul. If one allows this to remain in the body or heart, how can he do devotional service? Apathy develops from carelessness. One should practice devotional service without deviation. And he quotes Bhagavad Gita. This indeed is actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. One should engage himself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. And Baladeva Vijayabhusan commented, Atmanya yogatva mananam nirveda tad rahitena chetasa. One becomes indifferent to whatever work he feels unqualified for. Devotional service should be done like that. Then in the Bhagavatam it says, 11th canto, among these three paths, jnana, the path of philosophical speculation, is recommended for those who are disgusted with material life and are thus detached from ordinary fruitive activities. Those who are not disgusted with material life, having many desires yet to fulfill, should seek perfection through the path of karma yoga. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through bhakti yoga. So bhakti is a more balanced, more intelligent. The Gyanis, you know, what is it called? Neti, neti, neti. And this is not absolute. This is not absolute. They research everything and see that everything material, you know, is not the absolute truth. But they don't always find out. To find out the absolute truth, it has to be given. Those who have realized spiritual activities and understood that material activities are insignificant attain indifference for material activities. They accept some material activities as a support of their spiritual awakening, but they have no attachment for such activities. It's not that the devotee can't do anything in the material world, but not attached. You can have family, you can have business, you can have millions of dollars, or euros. He can be poor, but he's not attached, thinking that this is the all in all and this is mine. There's a saying, when you have nothing to lose. But it's really impossible to have nothing. But really we don't have anything. Everything belongs to Krishna. So the devotee who understands that, he could be king, like Yudhisthira said, his opulence was more than Lord Brahma. And the demigods were amazed at how opulent the kingdom was. But he was not attached at all, and he was not enjoying any kind of material facilities at all. He was living very simply. It even says he slept on the ground in the cow barn, just ate barley or something. You know, he was busy all day making sure that they were feeding so many brahmanas. And somehow he managed the whole kingdom, but he wasn't enjoying, you know, what a king could enjoy. He was just making arrangements for a yajna to benefit all the citizens. In proportion to the degree that they discuss spiritual topics in devotion, freedom material existence is awakened as an extraneous fruit. In the 11th canto, again, it gives symptoms of a devotee. Jata shadu matkatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukatmakam kamam parityage jisnishvaraha. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, being disgusted with all material activity, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Karma arises from lust, and jnana arises from indifference, and bhakti arises from faith in the Lord. When one gets faith, he is naturally disgusted with material activity. Rupa Goswami says, by awakening of faith, one becomes eligible for devotional service. Then he gets association of devotees. By the association of devotees, one engages in the execution of devotional service. In the beginning, there is no nishta, or firm faith, in that service, because various types of anarthas keep crushing the heart. All anarthas are vanquished by performing devotional service with enthusiasm. The more anarthas are vanquished, the more nishta is awakened. The word shraddha means faith, but enthusiasm is a life of shraddha. Faith without enthusiasm is meaningless. Many people think they have faith in God, but because they have no enthusiasm, their faith has no meaning. Due to lack of sadhu sangha, they do not perform devotional service. So these things are very simple, and some big gani may think, oh, you know, they want to know everything. And they want to, but the basic really thing is enthusiasm, faith, that this is the process, this is the real thing to do. Like everybody has, people will accuse devotees, well, you just have faith, it's just blind faith. But everyone has faith, and they have really blind faith. They just believe all these advertisements, right? And they go for it. Cigarettes. People see those, and somehow or other, even though it says on every advertisement that this thing is going to kill you or make you really sick or it's going to make everybody hate you because you're smoking, they still believe the picture that shows that it's very enjoyable. They had in Athens, I saw they have more advertising. They even have designer cigarettes. Big advertisements all over. Life is rich. Rich blue taste or something. You know, very expensive cigarettes. Some designer. You know. And another one says crafted for wonderful taste or something because they cut it just right. And, you know, they always show pictures of very beautiful, healthy people. And, you know, smiling like anything, and boy and girl together. In India, they'll show a huge, you know, house like you've never seen. Only in a movie you would see a golden house or something. Yeah. So it gives the impression that this will do that. You know, the cowboy is riding, and people believe all these things. That, you know, this is really wonderful. Blind faith. You just follow whatever the media tells them. Whatever the fashion. I saw in Japan when I didn't get a picture of it, but it was some kind of a, they were selling something. And it actually said, we want to be controlled by the waves of fashion. that's what makes everybody like you, that you're right up to the latest fashion. But everyone has a different idea of the latest fashion, right? There's so many different. Everyone is dressed up in their own way and think that they're following some fashion. When I'm in Africa, when we get on TV, they're almost always asking, why do you dress like this? I say, what's the fashion? It's our fashion. We like it. Well, then they can't argue. If you try to explain all the, you know, some kind of meaning of it or something, that's what they want, then they can say, well, we don't like them. It's fashion. We want to follow Krishna's fashion, spiritual fashion. And do everything to please. Everyone is doing something, whatever they do, to try to please somebody. Some people think they only care about themselves, but then in order to please themselves, they're trying to please other people that they think will appreciate, you know, whatever they're doing. So devotees just want to please Krishna. They want to please the sadhus. They want to please the guru. It's the same idea, and it's actually the original. The spiritual world, everyone is only thinking how to please Krishna in full consciousness. But even here, like a dog, you know, they think how to please the master, right? You ever had a dog? They're really into it. They're, you know, even a cat. When I was young, we had the cat, and sometimes, you know, the cats will catch birds. A lot of times, actually. And I remember one time that my father was sitting outside and the cat brought a bird and put it at his feet. You know, like, yeah, because you're feeding, the, you know, they're reciprocating. And the dogs especially, they love to try to please, and that's why people get attached to dogs. Like it says here that in this purport, that it, you know, if they can't get human association. And it's very hard to please humans, they turn against you and, you know, they want more and more from you. But a dog, they're very loyal. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote that, you know, you want to be the dog of the spiritual master. It doesn't mean that you just lay around and you chase girl dogs and eat garbage. It means to be like a dog. And Chanakya Pandit said we learn something like six things from the dog. Can't remember all of them. The dog is, he doesn't sleep very much, he wakes up quick, he doesn't have to eat very much. And the main thing, he's very loyal to the master. Even if the master is not treating him very nicely. They say if you feed a dog once, and you know, he'll stick with you the rest of your life. And you know, they'll guard and they'll try to protect. And so we want to be like that for Krishna. Prabhupada said this is like our dog collar. You know, dogs have this around their neck. They don't have a great big one, you know, that can come off. It has to be tight. So that, and then it says on there, I am so-and-so and I belong to somebody. My phone number is like this. So the dog, you know, he's got the master. And we have stories, true stories. I saw one movie when I was young. Some family moved like from New York to California or something. And they left the dog, they gave the dog to somebody, a little dog. And the dog ran away and found his way all the way to California. Found him, they made a movie. And it's a real story. The dog was like, you know, somehow or other so attached. The super soul guided him, you know, because it's not like he was smelling or something. But so we want to be like that for Krishna, you know, enthusiastic. Enthusiasm means, you know, you want to do something. And, we, you know, anybody that first comes to Krishna consciousness, of course there's enthusiasm, right? Otherwise, why would you come? You know, you want to do something, you want to get into it. Find out what's going on, you're checking out everything, you know, at least, you know, enthusiastic for prasadam. But then sometimes we see that enthusiasm and dwindles after a while. But that's because there's, you know, offenses or you know, taking it as ordinary activity. Sometimes we're very proud and think, well, I should be doing something much more higher than this. And when I was in Los Angeles, when I was beginning time, we had this incense factory, Spiritual Sky Incense Factory, and that was a big business, actually, and devotees all over were selling incense and supporting the temples. And it was very hard work, and I was in charge. So they would always send like a new devotee that just came and spent one night the next morning and say, okay, Bhakti Freddy, you know, you're going to go to the incense factory today. And they would go. And some would just get right into it and they would, you know, just work all day and it was a stinky, dirty place, you know, and alcohol and get all stained in different colors. But they would just get right into it, you know, and we'd be having playing kirtans or something. And others would think, I don't think I should be doing it. I'm meant for something more high class. But I remember the one devotee now that he was one of the most, he was only 16 years old, and he was so enthusiastic. But now he's the head pujari of LA. He's still there. And the ones who were like thinking, this is not, you know, quite up to my education, or something, you know, they would leave. They would. So whatever it is, you know, a devotee is not so fussy about, although in the beginning, Prabhupada, we had this term all the time called dovetail. In carpentry, you dovetail, you put something together. So Prabhupada, whatever, you know, material propensities you have, then use them for Krishna. You know, even though you're attached to some particular activity, offer it to Krishna. But then, if we become a little more advanced, then one doesn't care exactly what he's doing as long as it's, you know, pleasing to Krishna. It becomes more dutiful. And then he just starts to enjoy anything that's related to Krishna. Any activity doesn't think, well, I have to be doing, I like only this type of activity. And we see some devotees that are so humble. One devotee that became one of the main artists, and, you know, was an incredible artist, but no one knew he was an artist. He was driving the van or something. One day he was sitting there and he was drawing something, and so he said, wow, are you an artist here? No, not that good, he said. But then, you know, when Prabhupada saw, he said he was the best artist in the world. But he was not proud of his talent, he was humble. So then you can keep going and offer everything to Krishna. So we need this enthusiasm and then confidence, you know, confidence in ourselves, and that can do anything for Krishna if we really surrender to Krishna, because then Krishna is actually doing everything. Actually, Krishna is doing everything anyway, but if we think I'm the doer, sometimes it becomes a burden. Becomes difficult. I have to do this. Right? Why doesn't someone else do it? But if we can keep our enthusiasm, and first thing is for chanting the holy name carefully. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sachinandan Swami started these japa retreats. Now we get reports from all over the world how people say that, you know, I was chanting for so many years without really, you know, appreciating it, but now, you know, I've come to life again. Actually, some devotees really did. They just, by just 5 days of being totally absorbed in the holy name, you know, you have to check your phone and check your computer and just chant tapasya, then they come out of it like in ecstasy and they just want to chant and chant and tell everyone how wonderful to chant, like we all were in the beginning, right? I know when I first started chanting, I thought, well, I'm never going to do anything else but chant now. Just, you know, this is so great. But pretty soon you find yourself, you know, criticizing the devotees and not wanting to do this or wanting to go there. But we need to remember that. You know. That wakes people up, you know, get that. And for real devotee, every, like Jayananda Prabhu, he would always say after every kirtan, that was the greatest kirtan ever. And they'd say, well, you said that yesterday. He said, that was also. And he was not just saying that, you know, he really felt it. Prasadam also, oh, that was the best prasadam I ever had. Every time. He was actually relishing, you know, the fresh. In the spiritual world, there's no past and future. And even now, people talk about, you know, there was a famous book that was very popular when I first became a devotee called Be Here Now, My Body, though, in Sanskrit. But the idea is there, be absorbed in the, if we're chanting, you know, chant. But not just in any old thing, any now, you know, like some Buddhist or something. Whatever you're doing, you know, be totally absorbed in it, you know. And that may, like, bring some kind of peace of mind, you know, less agitation. But we want to be absorbed in Krishna right now, serving to Krishna, whatever we're doing. And how can we offer this to Krishna? How can we be remembering Krishna? So that means basically trying to always chant no matter what we're doing. Consciousness is the platform of attachment. Consciousness is symptomized by activity also. So first, probably, we have to become conscious and then become Krishna conscious. The Buddhist or Maya bodies, Shunya bodies, Maya bodies, Nirvisesha bodies, they want to become unconscious. Because their consciousness, which is absorbed in material things, is causing them so much distress. Anxiety, fear, you know. So they want to be unconscious. So people, you know, they blindly do so many stupid things to try to avoid reality. And then they say that we're trying to escape, but devotees are actually getting into reality. That we're not these bodies, that material activities are. We have to do some material activities just to live. So some materialists will say, well, you're the same as us, you're doing the same thing. But it's not the same. If a devotee has a house, and in the house he has deities, and you know he's offering everything to Krishna, someone may see him, you know, cleaning the house or you know cutting the grass or something. But it's not the same as the materialist who, in the house, is, everything is dedicated to sense gratification. Many activities may look the same. Devotees are cooking, but they're cooking for Krishna. Dancing also. Everyone wants to dance. You know, there's so many dance places. People love to see dancers. But so we noticed that when, like in the Rath Yatra, when everybody was dancing so much, then people stopped. Fascinating. If we're all sitting there, you know, most people won't pay much attention. But when they see everybody dancing ecstatically, then they want to join. Because that's the real nature of the soul. Spiritual world is only dancing and singing, singing and dancing. There's no walking and talking. There's no laziness. You know, devotees are always enthusiastic, and Prabhupada says they get more and more enthusiastic even they get old. You know, the exact activities may change as the body wears out, but the enthusiasm to do something for Krishna, that just increases. If we stick to good association and develop this faith, faith is the most important thing. Whatever we're doing with faith, that this is, you know, coming down, this is Krishna. We're doing everything that's going to lead us back to Krishna. People have faith in the scientist, they have faith in whiskey, they have faith in the cigarette, or whatever they're doing, that this is going to make them happy. They want to be happy. But it never works. They get, there's always both sides. For whatever we pleasure one tries to get in the material world, then there'll be the other side. But they ignore that. Just like the cigarette always says the bad side on it, but they don't care. It's quite inconceivable, actually. But they think, I'm not afraid. You know, it won't happen to me. Or I don't care. My mother, my sister, was always worried because she smoked so much. She said, "Then I'd rather die." She said, "I know I'll live longer if I don't smoke, but if I can't smoke, I'd rather die." She said, "That's my friend." Because somehow or other, they get attached to all these stupid things and they can't stop them. So we want to become, devotees become attached to Krishna in the same way. They become attached to chanting. They become attached to, you know, whatever service that they're doing. And they just want to do it more and more. That's a natural, that's the real thing. These other things are, you know, off the track, they're all wrong, attached to any kind of material activity, any type of sense gratification. It's completely wrong. So utsayanis jayadaira tatat karma pravartanate. Six things we should cultivate. Enthusiasm, confidence, and determination, you know, steadiness, and association of devotees. Then automatically we just keep moving towards Krishna. And we can have more and more bigger and bigger festivals. Krishna makes arrangements like at Woodstock, you know, that devotees can entertain so many people. Right? And people remember. Whatever contact anyone gets with the devotee, even book distributors or, you know, whatever it is, they remember, and it affects their life. That even that one moment's association, they may meet a devotee just for a few minutes. They may walk away with a book and wondering, like, what happened. A couple of minutes later, they don't even know, because the super soul just, you know, told them, "Okay, take it." But then they read it, and then they find devotees again. Sometimes right away, sometimes after many years, and eventually everyone is taking up more and more Krishna consciousness. And that's what we want. That's devotees' desire, to line up with Lord Chaitanya's desire, Lord Nityananda's desire, to give Krishna to everyone, the acharyas, to utilize the mind, you know, to thinking how to give Krishna. It's like these materialists, they really think about how to spread whatever they're spreading. Like I just now, when I came in, I see everywhere in Berlin and Leipzig there's this beer with no alcohol. But that's some result, I guess, of our preaching. Right? They don't want no intoxication. they still want a taste of it, but not without the bad side. You know, some people think that's the good side, but that's actually the bad side. But they do such an effort to promote these things. You know, beautiful signs, like, everywhere. Right? Drive down the road, how many do you see? So devotees are just thinking how to somehow to give Krishna. If we could put up that many signs, it would be great. But what about one TV station in India? It's a new one, so to get started, they put up something like 15,000 billboards all over. Somebody has so much money, and they, you know, painted tens of thousands of taxis and to promote their, you know, whatever they're promoting. But our Harinam Sankirtan and just chanting, you know, that's like a complete effective advertisement. It has everything, and it doesn't take and cost anything. And so if we're doing it more and more, and we're out there giving books and, you know, we're affecting a lot of people. And the more people we get, the more people join up, the more we can do more and more things to inundate the society with Krishna consciousness, and festivals everywhere, and school programs everywhere, and books everywhere. So we can have some questions. Kapila, yeah. Well, yeah, humility means that we know that we're not the doers, Krishna's doing everything. And then one can be very confident if he knows, well, if I try to serve Krishna, he'll Prabhupada said, with the order of the spiritual master comes the ability to do it. But if we're thinking, I'm the doer, then we'll think, well, I can't do this, I want to do that, or this is too hard, you know, it's too big of a burden. Let's see what it says about confidence. Ignorant and faithless persons who doubt the revealed scriptures do not attain God consciousness, they fall down. For the doubting soul, there is no happiness neither in this world or the next. Conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort, but out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and supplements the Puranas. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff, but humility, they have a saying in English, some people say that it does not mean to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less, right? Like, sometimes we have this idea of humility. Devotees think, well, you know, I can't do that, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, I'm no good. That's just sense gratification and, you know, bodily consciousness. But if one is really humble, then whatever Krishna wants him to do, he'll try to do it. Even if he knows he's not going to be able to do it very nicely, just do it anyway for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna is pleased when we make the effort. And then if we're humble, state of mind, then we can chant all the time. It doesn't mean thinking, I'm no good, I can't, I can't, I can't. That's just puffed up. You know, laziness. So one is very confident that Krishna is, you know, will help me, and the spirit soul has unlimited potentials, actually, you know, and just carry on. Is that all right? It's a long chapter. Nice. I never read this before. Those who have a thirst for worshiping the Lord learn from the teachings of Amnaya that Lord Krishna is all-pervading and one without a second, the absolute truth, possesses all energies. Although the living entities in the material world are manifested by his energies, he remains without a second. The ingredients are none different from Krishna, but the material creation, everything other than Krishna, is a transformation of his energy. Keeping firm faith in the statements, by the mercy of Krishna, the devotee can clearly see the truth of the inconceivable oneness and difference. If we use material consideration to understand this, it becomes theoretical. When one achieves knowledge of these seven realities through self-realization by the strength of Amnaya, it may be said that he has sambandhagana, knowledge of one's relationship with the Lord. Sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. That first is we know that we're connected to Krishna. We get connected. Madan Mohan, then Abhideya means establishing some, you know, activity in that relationship. Govindaji, and then Prayojan means that, you know, the ultimate love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna. It's Gopinath. Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopi Jana Balabhaya. Is that all right? Yeah.
Does that mean that actually sadhana bhakti, you practice sadhana bhakti to get faith? And
so
once
what?
We get faith, then the further faith and then further realization, real practice, Krishna consciousness.
Well, little faith comes first, so then we start practicing. Shado, sadhu sangha, right? Shado, bhajana kriya. But then more faith comes. And Prabhupada, you know, Krishna says, Ashadadana Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Prapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsara Varmani. One who does not have faith in this, then he cannot attain me. And then it's explained there that faith is produced by association of devotees. You know, then when we see other people, we should get, if we see other people very blissfully, they've been practicing for some time, then we develop faith that, you know, I can do that also. That it does work. We see also more and more devotees leaving their body and, you know, very blissfully leaving their body after practicing Krishna consciousness. Sometimes not even for very long. Sometimes for a long time, but because it's worked, and then that gives us faith. We see devotees doing so many things. We should, if we're fortunate, then we get more faith that, you know, they're showing us what can be done if you just depend on Krishna. Doesn't mean that depending on Krishna that you don't do anything and let Krishna do it. You know, like Krishna told Arjuna, you fight. You know, he didn't say just sit back and I'll, you know, Krishna could have, like Krishna and Balaram almost by themselves with a very small force, they defeated Jarasandha's 18 Akshohini divisions so many times. So that was, you know, more than the Battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna could have done it all himself very easily. Could have, but he didn't. He let Arjuna do it because he wanted to glorify the devotee. But he told Arjuna, you fight. You know? And if Arjuna spaced out, he'd get on his case. He says, come on, get to work. Like Arjuna was hesitating to fight with Bhishma. And then Krishna started insulting him. He was, what, are you sick? You know, what's wrong? Can't fight properly? You know, what's wrong? You coward. And then Arjuna get, you know, going again. He didn't say, okay, I'll take care of it. Don't worry, you know. Krishna could just throw his discus and cut off everybody's head all in one shot. But he didn't. All right? So, you know, the more we hear Bhagavatam, I was just listening in class last night. It was a Mataji, but she was saying, like, no matter who gives class, no matter what, you know, there's always something worthwhile. Even they just read the purport or something. Something you can take with you and, you know, and remember it throughout the day. And it has this, because Prabhupada said, you know, and the Bhagavatam says, every day. What's that verse we used to say always before class? When one who regularly hears the Srimad Bhagavatam or renders service to the pure devotee, then all the anartas, and, you know, all the impurities. So every day, nityam, means every day. Ultimately means all the time, but it has an effect. In the first place, it's pleasing to Prabhupada to hear every day, and somehow or other, and of course now we're fortunate because we have all these electronic devices to help us so that we can hear, you know, all the time. The special mercy of Kali Yuga. And when we utilize these things for hearing about Krishna, then even the people that make them and everything, they get some benefit of spreading. So one time Prabhupada was leaving L.A., and Prabhupada liked to be very early to the airport. And it was in the morning, just around Bhagavatam, class time. And the devotee was saying, we have to go, and Prabhupada said, no, I have to go and give class. And but he very shortly, he just came and said, I'm leaving now, and I request everyone to attend the Srimad Bhagavatam class every day. He said, who's going to be giving class? And then they said something. He said, okay, good. And then he said, actually, he said, I'm going to Hawaii and I'll be back in a few days. It was a famous time. And then he was gone, like, you know, of course he went to Japan and he went to India and he went, and then the devotee said, Prabhupada, you were coming back in a few days. He said, you don't know about the day of Brahma. So his vision was different than ours, you know, because, and Brahma, you know, compared to Vishnu, was very short life. Vishnu, Mahavishnu, even for Krishna, is nothing. The whole manifestation of the entire material universe for Krishna is nothing. Because they're not calculating time that way. You know, like we do, grinding it out and, you know, checking off the day. Like people in prison with their calendar, crossing off days, just meditating, you know, because devotees are absorbed in every day, chanting the holy name, you know, finding some service, preaching, doing something for Krishna. And then gradually Krishna gives us more and more to do. That Polish tour is kind of a phenomena, but it's what it's supposed to be, that, you know, so many devotees are just busy all the time. Nobody's, like, just sitting around, right? You couldn't, even if you wanted to. It's impossible because there's just too much energy. And or the Rath Yatra, you know, everyone that comes around, they just get into it. There's so much going on. And temples should be like that. And anybody comes, they just feel like, wow, I want to do something. You know, I want to help these people, right? I want to help them. I want to do some service. Then we develop more and more. Utsaha means enthusiasm. Means you want to do it, you like it, you're fired up, you know, to do it. Like, you know, people are enthusiastic for so many stupid things, you know, wasting their time. It should be the same way for Krishna. Like they are for cigarettes. Last year when I came into Berlin and we were standing at by the door of the airport, you saw, you know, these guys come out, they have the cigarette, they have the lighter, you know, and they're just running to get outside. You know, just, the whole, since they entered the other airport, you know, they've just been waiting to get their cigarette. Just, you know, they just totally absorbed. Thinking I should be like that for the japa or for, you know, for any kind of devotional service. Because we generally, we know we have to do it every day, but we're not quite that addicted. But gradually we become like attached, so want Krishna, whatever way Krishna wants us to be with him. Any other question? All right. So this is an amazing chapter, actually, by Kapila Muni. Even though he speaks all science and all about material science and everything, The first thing he spoke was the glories of devotional services chapter. And the next one is fundamental principles of material nature. Then he goes into all the, you know, how the material world is set up, but of course it's all related to Krishna. But the real thing is devotional service, the Bhagavatam is. Lord Chaitanya said the Bhagavatam is all bhakti, there's nothing else. May appear to be other things, so many descriptions of, you know, how the material world is working, but it's all bhakti. And if we just keep hearing it and reading it and distributing it, then it could manifest more and more in our hearts mystically. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Berlin Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Jagannath Subhadra Balaram ki jai. That picture is so good, I thought they were there. Well, they are there. Jagannath, very merciful, likes to travel. Right?